Chapter 35, The Real Balance Effect and Piaggio Effect, page 280. Patinkin's Integration of Monetary Theory and Value Theory, The Real Balance Effect. Don Patinkin, in his monumental work, Money, Interest and Prices, Note 1, Second Edition, 1965, criticizes the Cambridge economists for the homogeneity postulate and the dichotomization of goods and money markets, and then reconciles the two markets through the real balance effect. The homogeneity postulate states that the demand and supply of goods are affected only by relative prices. It means that a doubling of money prices will have no effect on the demand and supply of goods. Mathematically, the demand and supply functions for goods are homogeneous of degree zero in prices alone. Thus, this homogeneity postulate precludes the price level from affecting the goods market as well as the money market. Patinkin criticizes this postulate for its failure to have any determinate theory of money and prices. Another closely related assumption which Patinkin criticizes is the dichotomization of the goods and money markets in the neoclassical analysis. This dichotomization means that the relative price level is determined by the demand and supply of goods, and the absolute price level is determined by the demand and supply of money. Like the homogeneity postulate, this assumption also implies that the price level has absolutely no effect on the monetary sector of the economy, and the level of monetary prices in turn has no effect on the real sector of the economy. After condemning the neoclassical assumptions outlined above, Patinkin integrates the money market and the goods market of the economy, which depend not only on relative prices, but also on real balances. Real balances mean the real purchasing power of the stock of cash holdings of the people. When the price level changes, it affects the purchasing power of people's cash holdings, which in turn affects the demand and supply of goods. This is the real balance effect. Patinkin denies the existence of the homogeneity postulate and the dichotomization assumption through this effect. For this, Patinkin introduces the stock of real balances, M by P, held by a community as an influence on their demand for goods. Thus, the demand for a commodity depends upon real balance as well as relative prices. Now, if the price level rises, this will reduce the real balances, that is the purchasing power of the people, who will spend less than before. This implies a fall in the demand for goods and the consequent fall in prices and wages. The price line decline increases the value of money balances held by the people, which in turn increases the demand for goods directly. The initial decrease in commodity demand creates a state of involuntary unemployment. But unemployment will not last indefinitely, because as wages and prices fall, the real balance effect tends to increase commodity demand directly and indirectly through the interest rate. With sufficiently large a fall in wages and prices, the full employment level of output and income will be restored. Finally, even if there is the liquidity trap, the expansion of the money supply will increase money balances, and full employment can be restored through the operation of the real balance effect. According to Patinkin, this is the crucial point. The dynamic grouping of the absolute price level towards its equilibrium value will, through the real balance effect, react on the commodity markets and hence on relative prices. Page 281. Thus, absolute prices play a crucial role not only in the money market but also in the real sector of the economy. Patinkin further points out that once the real and monetary data of an economy with outside money are specified, the equilibrium values of relative prices, the rate of interest, and the absolute price level are simultaneously determined by all the markets of the economy. In this way, Patinkin also introduces the real balance effect in the general equilibrium analysis. Besides removing the classical dichotomy and the homogeneity postulate and integrating monetary and value theory through the real balance effect, Patinkin also validates the quantity theory conclusion. According to Patinkin, the real balance effect implies that people do not suffer from money illusion. They are interested only in the real value of their cash holdings. In other words, they hold money for what it will buy. This means that a doubling of the quantity of money will lead to a doubling of the price level, but relative prices and the real balances will remain constant and the equilibrium of the economy will not be changed. The real balance effect is illustrated diagrammatically in Figure 1 by using the IS and LM technique, because the IS curve represents the goods market and the LM curve the money market. So trying to explain Figure 1, we have Y on the x-axis and small r on the y-axis. We have one IS and LM curve. So IS is a straight line downward sloping as we move towards the right, and LM is a slightly curved rising curve as we move towards the right. IS and LM intersect at point A, corresponding to Y1 on the x-axis and R1 on the y-axis. Now, if IS and LM both move towards the right, we have IS1 and LM1, the two curves, such that they intersect at point C, corresponding to which R is R0 and Y is YF. There is another point B on the IS curve, which is corresponding to R0, and corresponding to point B, the Y is Y2. Returning back to the text. To begin with, we take a situation when the economy is in equilibrium at OY1 level of income, when the IS and LM curves intersect at point A, where the interest rate is OR1. Assuming OYF as the full employment level, the pressure of unemployment is measured by Y1 minus YF, which causes wages and prices to fall simultaneously. This results in an increase in the real value of people's money holdings, which shift the LM curve to the right to LM1. It intersects the IS curve at point B, the income level OY2, with the result that the interest rate falls to OR0, which stimulates investment, discourages savings and increases consumption. Even when the interest rate falls to its minimum level OR0, the level of demand in the commodity market, as represented by the IS curve, is not high enough to lead the economy to full employment level OYF. Rather, unemployment measured by Y2 minus YF remains in the economy. This much unemployment leads to a further fall in wages and prices and to the increase in demand for consumption goods, which shifts the IS curve to the right to IS1, so that it intersects the LM1 curve at point C at the full employment level OYF. Thus, under conditions of wage and price flexibility, when the IS and LM curve shifts rightwards, the real balance effect ultimately leads the economy to the full employment level, even in the liquidity trap situation as shown above, when investment is interest inelastic. Conclusion. Thus, the real balance effect demonstrates three theoretical points. First, it eliminates the classical dichotomy between value and monetary theory. Second, it validates the conclusions of the quantity theory that in equilibrium, money is neutral and the interest rate is independent of the quantity of money through the real balance effect. And third, the wage price flexibility leads to full employment in the long run, and that the Keynesian underemployment equilibrium is a disequilibrium situation. Its criticisms. Patinkin's analysis of the real balance effect has been severely criticized by Johnson, Archibald and Lipsey Lloyd and other economists. 1. Not applicable in equilibrium situations. Johnson, Note 2, Harry G. Johnson, Essays in Monetary Theory, 2nd edition, 1969. So Johnson points out that there is no need for the real balance effect so long as the real analysis is confined to equilibrium situations. The real balance is needed only to ensure the stability of the price level and not to determine the real equilibrium of the system. 2. Conceptually inadequate. Archibald and Lipsey, Note 3. G. C. Archibald and R. G. Lipsey, Monetary and Value Theory, A Critique of Lange and Patinkle, RSE 31, bracket 1, number 69, October 1958. They regard Patinkin's analysis of the real balance effect as conceptually inadequate. According to them, Patinkin traces the real balance analysis as a short-run phenomena and does not work it out through the long run. Page 282. 3. Price stability without real balance effect. Cliff Lloyd, Note 4. The real balance effect. Sine Q Watt. QEP 14, number 3, October 1962. So Cliff Lloyd has criticized Patinkin for holding the classical view that people do not suffer from money illusion and that their behavior is influenced by the real balance effect. He has shown that the stability of the price level can be had without taking the real balance effect. According to him, by assuming that money is available in fixed quantity and people want to hold it will bring price stability, but money illusion will not be absent. 4. Failure to explain increase in monetary wealth. Shaw, Note 5, G. K. Shaw, An Introduction to the Theory of Macroeconomic Policy, 1971. Shaw has criticized Patinkin for his failure to analyze the manner in which the increase in monetary wealth comes about. According to him, Patinkin simply assumes a doubling of money balances and analyzes only the resultant effects. In practice, money stock does not change in this manner, nor, in most cases, do people experience the happy variations of helicopters carrying a forfeit of bank notes. Conclusion. Despite these criticisms, the introduction of the real balance effect disposes of the classical dichotomy, that is, it makes it impossible to talk about the relative prices without introducing money, but it nevertheless preserves the classical proposition that the real equilibrium of the system will not be affected by the amount of money. All that will be affected will be the level of prices. The Piggio effect. The Piggio effect, also known as the wealth effect, was propounded by A.C. Piggio in 1943 to counter Keynes's argument that wage price deflation cannot lead to automatic full employment. Piggio fully recognized the interest rate effect of Keynes, that wage price deflation raises investment and income through a reduction in the interest rate. But he did not agree that the real income cannot be raised to the level of full employment due to liquidity trap. According to Piggio, a wage price deflation will generate automatic full employment via an increase in the level of consumption. He agreed that when money wages are cut, prices fall and the value of money rises. The rise in the value of money means a rise in the real value of assets such as stocks, shares, banks, deposits, government securities, bonds, etc. For example, if prices fall by 50%, the real value of each rupee will be doubled because it will purchase twice as much as it did before. The increase in the real value of fixed assets will make their owners feel richer than before. They will therefore save less out of their current income and spend more on consumption. This will increase aggregate demand and output and will generate automatically full employment in the economy. As a result of the Piggio effect, the consumption function will shift upwards or the saving function will shift downwards. In terms of the IS function, it means a rightward shift in the IS curve. The important point in the Piggio effect is that it is based on the assumptions of flexible wage and price levels and a constant stock of money. Therefore, it is only the IS curve that shifts to the right with the increase in consumption or a reduction in saving when the real value of fixed assets increases. The LM curve is assumed to be given because of the assumption of a constant stock of money. This is because the analysis of PGO effect runs strictly in terms of static analysis. Page 283. Another important point is that this analysis is based upon the flexibility of absolute prices. Patinkin summarizes the PGO effect in the following theorem. There always exists a sufficiently low price level such that if expected to continue indefinitely, it will generate full employment. Algebraically, if the money supply, which is assumed to be constant, is M0 and the price level is P1, then the saving function or the consumption function will be S, which is a function of RY within bracket M0 upon P, end of the big bracket. Thus, saving function S depends upon the interest rate R, income Y, and the ratio of the given money supply to absolute prices M0 upon P. When prices fall, the real value of a given stock of money rises and people reduce their saving to increase consumption, thereby increasing aggregate demand. This process will automatically lead the economy to the level of full employment when decline in wages and prices stops. In the PGO effect, interest elasticities and positions of the saving and investment functions are irrelevant. The PGO effect is illustrated in figure 2A and B. So, to briefly describe figure 2, in panel A, we have income on the x-axis and interest rate on the y-axis. We have the LMO curve, which starts at point R on the y-axis, and it is an upward sloping curve as we move towards the right. There are two curves, IS curves, IS1 and IS2, which are downward sloping curves as we move towards the right. So LMO intersects IS1 at E1, corresponding income is Y1, this is at interest rate R, and LMO intersects IS2 at E2, corresponding income is YF. Now we extend this to panel B, then Y1 and YF remains same on the x-axis, which is the income axis, but the y-axis is the price level. So we get an AD curve, which is a downward sloping curve, and we have two points, P1 and P2, on the y-axis such that P1 is less than P2. Returning to the text. To begin with panel A of the figure, suppose the economy is at Y1 level of income as determined by IS1 and LMO curve at E1. Now wage price deflation starts, which raises the consumption function such that the IS1 curve shifts rightwards to IS2. Given the LMO curve, the IS2 curve intersects the LMO curve at E2, thereby raising the income level from OY1 to OYF, the full employment level. Panel B of the figure shows that as the price level falls from P2 to P1 with reduction in money wages, income increases from OY1 to the full employment level OYF through the increase in aggregate demand via the PGO effect. This is shown by the downward sloping aggregate demand curve AD. Its criticisms. The PGO effect led to a sort of warfare among the neoclassicals and the neo-Keynesians. It appeared that the former had scored a victory over the latter by providing theoretically that if wage price deflation is incorporated in the Keynesian model, it will automatically lead to full employment of the economy. But the neo-Keynesian resistance to the PGO effect has been so strong that economists have pointed out a number of defects in the PGO's analysis of wage price deflation as a means to automatic full employment. The following arguments are advanced against the PGO analysis. 1. Ignores distributional effects. The PGO effect assumes that the depressing effect of a reduction in price level is offset by its stimulating effect on creditors. Therefore, the private sector, being a creditor to the government, is stimulated by a reduction in the price level. But there are debtors other than the government. So, a price decline will have different reactions on debtors and creditors. Creditors are encouraged to increase their expenditure while debtors are discouraged. But if the debtors are discouraged more than the creditors are encouraged, the price decline will not have encouraging effects on expenditures. Thus, Piggio overlooked the possibility of microeconomic distributional effects. 2. Neglects the effect of wage price deflation on firms. The Piggio effect considers only the effects of a change in real balances on consumption or saving of the household sector. It neglects the influence of real balances on firms. This is a serious defect in the Piggio analysis because the motivations of households and firms are different. Investment decisions of firms are favorably influenced when their real balances increase. But if firms are debtors and a price decline continues to persist, it will cause bankruptcies of firms. When debtors become bankrupt, creditors also lose. This will have a depressing effect on the economy. Thus, a price decline will not lead to increase in aggregate demand and to automatic full employment in the economy. 3. Effect on saving uncertain. Another defect of the Piggio analysis is that it assumes definite knowledge about the effect on saving or consumption of an increase in the real balances. As a matter of fact, little is known about this. Moreover, only a small proportion of the lower income groups, which form the majority of the population in a country, possess appreciable amount of assets. Thus, very few people save, and those who save do not increase their consumption expenditures with the increase in the real value of their assets following a price decline. Rather, they like to save more as their assets increase. 4. Wage price deflation, not once for all. The Piggio analysis is based on the assumption of once for all wage price decline. It therefore regards a price decline as a temporary phenomena which is likely to be reversed when recovery starts. In practice, once for all price decline is not obtained. Even if it exists, it is not reasonable to suppose that people will feel richer and increase their consumption expenditures at a single price decline. Page 284. 5. Difficult to measure quantitatively. The Piggio effect is difficult to weigh quantitatively, that is, how much consumer expenditure will increase for any given decline in the price level. If a major deflation is required, this in itself rules out reliance on the Piggio effect as a practical means of restoring an economy to full employment. According to Shapiro, a hyperdeflation may satisfy the purely theoretical requirements of the Piggio effect, but in practice, it might also produce economic distress leading to riots and even revolution. Note 6. Edward Shapiro, opposite. 6. Neglects price expectations. Another weakness of the Piggio effect is that it neglects the role of price expectations. It is not that the price level declines only once in practice. Rather, once there is a wage price deflation, it creates expectations of a further decline in prices. This is because of the generation of pessimism among businessmen and consumers who have a tendency to reduce their expenditures in the expectation of further decline in prices. Under the circumstances, the Piggio analysis is not likely to lead to automatic full employment. 7. Piggio effect disappears in the lower turning point of a trade cycle. Taking the Piggio analysis in relation to the trade cycle, a once-for-all wage price reduction will not lead to complete recovery and to full employment. Suppose the wage price deflation has been completed and the consequent rise in real balances and in the consumption function takes the economy to the level of recovery. But as recovery continues, prices will begin to rise and the real balances with the public will start declining. So the Piggio effect will disappear once the lower turning point of a trade cycle is reached. According to Hansen, it applies to a situation like that of 1936-40 in the United States, when prices had fallen and become established at a lower level. 8. Static in nature. The Piggio effect is in terms of static analysis, which assumes a constant stock of money. But the real world is dynamic, where wage price deflation with a constant stock of money will lead to full employment only after a long period, or it might even lead to a deflationary spiral with continuous unemployment. Conclusion. Thus, the PGU effect leading to automatic full employment is unrealistic and impracticable. As he himself wrote, "The puzzles we have been considering are academic exercises of some slight use, perhaps for clarifying thought, but with very little chance of ever being posed as the checkerboard of actual life." Note 7. Economic Progress in a Stable Environment. Economics, Volume 14, 1947. Differences between Pigeot effect and real balance effect. Both the terms Pigeot effect and the real balance effect have been coined by Patinkin, but they are not the same. Rather, they are quite different. The Pigeot effect is a static analysis which consists of the effect of a wage price deflation on consumption given the constant stock of money, or what Gurley and Shaw called outside money, which includes gold, government securities and fiat paper money. It shows that when consumption increases as a result of wage price deflation, the IS curve shifts to the right such that it intersects a given LM curve and automatic full employment is attained in the economy. The real balance effect is a modified version of the Pigeot effect given by Patinkin. It is a dynamic analysis which comprises both the Pigeot effect and the Keynes effect. The Keynes effect shows that as a result of the wage price deflation, when the real value of money increases, smaller transactions balances are needed which create more demand for securities. Consequently, the prices of securities rise and the rate of interest falls at each level of income so that the LM curve shifts to the right. Thus, the operation of the Keynes effect shifts only the LM curve to the right and that of the Pigeot effect only the IS curve to the right. But in the real balance effect, both the LM and the IS curves are shifted to the right till they intersect at the level of full employment. In the real balance effect, elasticities of the IS and LM curves are irrelevant. The LM curve may be perfectly elastic, that is, in the Keynesian liquidity trap region, or the IS curve may be perfectly inelastic. The level of full employment is automatically attained. Page 285. Exercises. 1. Examine Patinkin's contribution to the analysis of the relationship between money supply, interest rate and price level. 2. Explain how Don Patinkin's real balance effect is an improvement over the classical version of the quantity theory. 3. Explain the real balance effect. How does it differ from the Pigeot effect and the Keynes effect? 4. Explain the Pigeot effect. In what way Patinkin has improved over it in his real balance effect? And 5. Examine Pigeot's view that price-wage flexibility leads to full employment in the economy. With this, we come to the end of chapter 35.